Yes, people, welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 19 of Cricket Talks. I'm Mohammed, more blogs, whatever you want to refer to me as. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the upcoming T20 series between Pakistan and South Africa. As you guys know, the test series has just passed. I've done a couple episodes on it. I reviewed it with Massad in the first test, reviewed the second with Aaron, the cricket connoisseur, as people know him as. So go check those out if you haven't already. They're available on YouTube and all audio streaming platforms anyway. So we're going to be going through the Pakistan T20 series. I'm going to be going through all the Pakistan picks, letting you know my thoughts on all of those. I will be touching on South Africa, but like I said, I'll be going through Pakistan, the majority of it, just because it's what I know, and I don't want to be giving you fake facts. So I'm going to be going through all of those. So before we get started, please like, comment, subscribe. If you are on YouTube, let me know what you guys think of the initial squads, and then let me know after. Let me know any of your thoughts on it, and we'll talk about it in the comments. That's not a problem. I reply to all of you guys. Subscribe on the road to 100, and make sure you like it so we can get this out to more people. If you're listening on audio, make sure you follow, give a review and rating if your platform allows that, and listen to my other episodes. Pause this one, go check out my others, and then come back to this one. But that's going to be the aim of this episode. We're going to try and keep it short and sweet. Pakistan, South Africa, T20 series. Let's get into it. Okay, now before we get started, I just want to quickly brush up on a couple of players who are left out of the squad, which is equally as important as the people who are in. Pakistan have left out a couple of key players, some who are out for injuries, some who are out for commitment issues. I want to quickly touch on those because I'm seeing a lot of vile comments around players who have been left out, whether it's for commitment issues or family issues or injuries, and there's just a lot of ignorance and hate towards stuff they don't even know themselves. So I want to quickly brush up on this player. Number one is Mohammed Hafeez. Now, Mohammed Hafeez was just part of the T10 tournament. As you guys know, he was a leading run scorer at international T20 cricket for 2020, averaged about 90 that year. Stupid numbers, great numbers against the likes of England, who is, I think, the best, still in the number one ranked T20 side in the world. So obviously Mohammed Hafeez is going to be a big blow for the Pakistan side going into this test T20 series. We're looking at a number four anchor who can pretty much consistently provides runs throughout the whole of 2020, and he's really looking like he's kept that form all throughout the year. Now, he's left out of this squad because he's just been part of the T10. The date to be ready for the T20 series was, I think, the 3rd of February, sorry if I'm wrong. And he asked to be available for the 6th. Now, obviously, that's hurt me because, you know, I feel like it's going to be a pretty big blow for us. I think Mohammed Hafeez has provided that number 4 position for a minute now, and it's going to be sad to see him not be a part of this T20 series. That being said, it's going to be interesting to see how he covers. As you guys know from previous news, Mohammed Hafeez gave up his contract for Pakistan and only came in for the match fees because of the fact that he wanted to let the youngsters get their contract, get their chance. So that was a good thing. At least we know Mohammed Hafeez is accepting the transition. And this number four thing, even though it wasn't deliberate, he isn't doing it linked to that contract, rejecting the contract. It was more to do with him wanting to be part of the T10 squad and not essentially choosing it over Pakistan, which is okay. It's the first time he's done it as far as I know, and it is what it is. Another player is Shadab Khan, the vice captain of the Pakistan T20 side, the captain of Islamabad. He's becoming a real valuable player to Pakistan. He was already valuable as a leg spinner who provided the batting option, but his batting has really accelerated a lot, from throwing himself in the deep end Islamabad United to actually taking Pakistan to some handy or providing Pakistan some handy knocks while he was in international T20 cricket against New Zealand, for example, as well. We're looking at someone who also is going to be a big blow, but like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how he covers. We've got the leg spinning option that's been left out. Usman Garde is available for that, and I'm very, very happy with the way Usman Garde is going. I'm happy that he managed to choose Pakistan and not ended up playing for Australia. But like I said, we're going to go into Usman Garde later on, and Shadab Khan is the second person who's been left out. Imad Wasim, no commitment issues, no injuries like Shadab Khan. Imad Wasim has purely been left out for family commitments, and for me, that's good enough. Virat Kohli's been left out. A lot of players leave themselves out for particular squads, particular series because of that. And like I said, the comments, they're just not needed. Imad Wasim has been left out or left himself out for commitment issues to families, and that's okay. And the final two, number one, Fariz Zaman, Pakistan's top order batsman, who's been playing in the T20 side at the top order and the ODI side, to be fair, for quite a while now. Came into the international side around 2017. Obviously, people recognise him most for that 114 knock against India in the Champions Trophy final. His form is very much up and down until then. I think his playing style very much dictates that. He's someone who is 100% confident to strike from the very first ball. We've seen him do it countless times in T20 games, whether that's in UAE or abroad. If the ball is there to be hit on ball one, he is going for it. And a lot of the time, if you watch him against Lahore Qalandars, if you're watching him for Pakistan cricket, between 2017 and 2018 was probably the most he'd done that. The first ball, when he's facing the opening ball, he has very much attacked and gone for it. And most of the time, it ended up going for four, otherwise it ended up being a dot ball. But Farhad Zaman's been left out for poor form. The second player who's been left out is Wahab Riaz. Wahab Riaz has been in and out of the T20 side, to be honest. He's also been left out for form. He was part of the New Zealand tour where he was playing for the A side of the T20 side while Pakistan was playing in international T20s, and his form was very much up and down. He didn't have any stellar performances there, and that potentially dictated that alongside his economy in previous series. So like I said, another big blow. Experienced seamer who has the ability to swing it and bowl at very, very high speeds. And Farhad Zaman, who has the ability to attack from the first ball. That are going to be a couple of big blows. We're talking Farhad Zaman, Shadab Khan, Wahab Riaz, Mohammad Afif, Imad Wasim. Now that was, if we look back at 2017-2018, pretty much the core squad we're looking at for Pakistan. Thankfully, we have obviously a couple of players who've transitioned from then, from the youngsters, for the likes of Shaheen Afridi, for example, who've been able to be other established players in the Pakistan side. So we're not all down. All hopes are down. Like I said, we're going to talk through the Pakistan side. I'm going to give you my hopes, give you my insights, not my hopes, my insights into all the players, and I'm going to give you my predictions at the end of it. So stay tuned as we go through all the players. All right, let's start. Player number one, Babar Azam, the captain. Coming off the back of the Test series, he had a high score of 77. He had a 40-odd and a couple of low scores as well. And that's okay, in my opinion. We're still looking at one of the best players in the world right now, batsman by far. I'd probably say top five, pushing top four. And he's coming off the back of an injury of his thumb, so we got to give him time to come back. Those couple low scores were a blip. Keshav Maharaj is not a player he's not really going to face in the Test series anyway. He's more likely to face Tabrez Shamsi in terms of spin. But that being said, T20 batsman. He was one of the best T20 batsmen for about a year and a half, potentially 2 years, when Pakistan was number one as well. So complete faith in Babar Azam. His captaincy has been pretty good in T20 series. And as a batsman, he ticks all the boxes. Reminds me of a bit of a Darwin Malan, a slightly more aggressive Joe Root. He has the ability to score fours, but he's constantly rotating the strike. He's trying to keep that strike rate ticking, and that's what I like about him. Even though he does have the odd few dot balls, he actually does have quite a few dot balls. He always makes sure he recovers that with boundaries, and the way he goes about it is generally very, very risk adverse, which is a great thing to see. He keeps the ball on the ground. He can score sixes. We have seen in his last few T20s that he has played, which is a fair while ago now. I think the England series might have been the last. Oh, sorry, the Zimbabwe series. He's starting to have the ability to hit a few more sixes. That's good to see. Babar Azam is obviously the first player in that list. Now, the next player is the seamer from Punjab, Amir Yameen, someone who's always been in the conversation to be playing for Pakistan in limited form, overs format anyway. Doesn't have a crazy amount of pace, but he has generally pretty good variation. In terms of his stats, in first-class cricket, in professional domestic cricket, in T20s, he is still going about 8 and over. That being said, he's played two international T20s for Pakistan, one in 2015 against England in Sharjah, and the same in 2018 against New Zealand. I still remember his debut where he got out Jason Roy in the very first ball of the innings. Pakistan took it to the super over, and in 2018, Pakistan won that game against New Zealand too. In terms of my personal opinion of him, I don't particularly think he's going to be a player who's going to be played in the playing 11 unless there's an injury. That being said, he is pretty handy. I wouldn't push his name to be in a starting 11 just because of the available options we have. I think Shaheen, Fahim and Haris Rauf is potentially enough, and then we go with 2 to 3 spinners. That being said, we never know how it goes with Misbah Al-Haq and the new management, so we'll see how their playing 11 goes. I personally wouldn't play him. That being said, Amir Yameen is a handy option to have. The PSL coming up as well, so it's going to be a good chance for him to prove his selections if he does get put in, and if he doesn't, prove his place in the PSL and see if he gets another call-up. Now, the next player is Ahmad Butt, one of the seamers that I'm very, very excited about to be part of the squad. Hopefully, he does make his debut. I'm not very sure on how the playing 11 is going to look right now. Maybe that's something I say at the end. That being said, Ahmad Butt has constantly been in the conversation, especially in the last 2 years, with constant performances in the PSL, domestic cricket, and especially in the T20 league that just passed by. His figures have been pretty good as well. With the Delhi Bulls, he took 2 wickets in both of the last 2 matches. Ahmad Bhatt is definitely a good name. He has all the variation, he has the pace, he impressed at the PSL, and his name has constantly been in the hat, and it's about time that he potentially does get the call up. That being said, we do have three seamers. We have Fahim Ashraf, Shaheen Afridi and Haris Rauf, with the potential for Mohammed Hasnain. Now, if I was to choose between Mohammed Hasnain, who's played a couple of T20s now, he's played quite a few international games for his age already, and Ahmad Bhatt, I'm honestly going for Ahmad Bhatt. He doesn't offer the same amount of pace as Mohammed Hasnain. That being said, I prefer him so much. He's just so much more mature, line and length, just constantly digging in. He comes across as a player who knows his T20 game very, very well. And that for that reason, I'm happy about Ahmad Bhatt's selection by far. And the next player is Asif Ali, someone again who's been in and out of the Pakistan side for a while now. Was part of the World Cup in 2019. Has been part of quite a few squads, but then again, he's been left out for form on quite a few occasions as well. He's averaging about 25 in domestic T20 cricket, and that average drops right down to 18 in international T20 cricket. In terms of recent performances, he didn't really have a great start with the Qalandars in the T10 tournament. That being said, in his last List A game against Central Punjab for Northern, he did score 88. Looking at from a subjective point of view, Asif Ali is definitely a talented player. I think when he made his debut about 2017, 2018 for Pakistan in the T20 side, he had a couple performances. You could tell that he was having the ability. He does definitely have the ability to score runs of Pakistan. He just ends up losing his wicket to silly situation, whether it's a run out or just silly shots that just genuinely weren't needed. Looking at the squad, there is a good chance that he's end up going to be in the middle order because of the likes of Shadab Khan, who actually might be even playing higher, who would have been playing higher if he was in the squad, and Mohammed Hafeez. There's a good chance that he is batting number 5, number 4 maybe. I don't think Mohammad Rizwan is going to end up getting the bump up just because of his style of play, and with the way he performed in New Zealand, I think he's great at the position he is now. But there is also the potential of him to move up. It's just a trial and error thing, I guess. So yeah, Asif Ali is the next player, someone who I'm sort of, you know, iffy on, but it is what it is. Now the next player is Danish Aziz, another player who's very likely to make his debut. Another talented player, being in and out of the Pakistan sort of news, to be making his debut. Averages 41 in domestic T20 cricket. I remember back in October where he scored the last ball 6 to seal a win. I think it was for Sindh, and he did score an unbeaten 78 not too long ago. In terms of recent performances, his performances have not been bad at all. Like I said, a player who's constantly been cropping up for Pakistan selection. Hasn't really played any PSL, to be honest. It's going to be interesting to see how he does. There's a good chance he will play. I think it is for Karachi or Quetta. So yeah, another interesting player. I'll personally want him to make his debut with the current situation. Again, Mohammed Hafeez being left out. And if I was to make the choice between potentially playing him or Asif Ali, I'd probably end up going Danish Aziz. I think he has a lot to offer. He also has the ability to bowl, which is also going to be very handy. Not necessarily needed, but it's there if we need it. Now, Fahim Ashraf is the next player on the Pakistan selection choices. If you've seen my last episodes, Aaron said it, Masada said it, from Change of Pace and Aaron the Cricket Connoisseur, as a lot of you guys probably listen to his podcast, the County Cricket Podcast. I cannot sing my praises enough for Fahim Ashraf. He's had an amazing comeback. He was dropped out for form about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when Pakistan played England. Potentially was the last time I heard of him. Left out for form, did his thing, played for Nottinghamshire, played in a lot of tournaments, like he always does. And, you know, his comeback couldn't have even been bigger. He came back to play New Zealand, which is a tough series to play by all means. And New Zealand are one of the strongest sides, still an underrated side in my opinion. Coming back to play them in a T20 series on their turf, going for about 5 to 7.5 and over, which is always amazing to see in T20 cricket, even though that does mean 120 as a grand total. 5 to 7 and over is amazing. He had that amazing score of 40. He had to put a 40 odd in the T20 series. Then he went over in the test. He put a 90 up in the very first test, I think. And his bowling, not necessarily taking loads of wickets, but to be honest, with the ball he gets given, he's not having the ability to take as many wickets. I think for me, his role is just generally to put a cap on the score and build pressure from one side of the innings as well. Potentially Yasir Shah or Hassan Ali or whoever the other seamer is or accompanying spinner does their thing. But Fahim Ashraf, I cannot sing my praises enough about him. Such a great player. Yunus Khan was talking about, I've said this, referenced it so much, Yunus Khan has talked about turning him into a genuine all-rounder. When he came onto the scene, He was very much used as a player who bowled four overs and probably faced five or six balls at most as an all-rounder and expected to play that many balls. We look at Fahim Ashraf now after just two series of coming back, and we're looking at him and, you know, 40 runs is like a baseline for him almost. The expectations and standards that he's just pushed himself up to has been amazing, and I'm so happy for his comeback, to be honest. He's had one of the biggest comebacks for Pakistan that we've seen in a long while. A lot of players have come back into the Pakistan side and a lot of them haven't been able to deliver. Him, Hassan Ali, we'll go into Hassan Ali after, but Fahim Ashraf, cannot sing my praises enough about him. He's going to be a solid number 6, number 7 for us, and his bowling has been on point as well. Haider Ali is the next player, someone who had a pretty big start to his career, ended up playing England in his debut game back in the COVID summer, actually. 50 on debut, about 51 or 52 on debut, but I think he got a 6 off his second ball. But, you know, Haider Ali is someone who has a huge amount of talent. He has a lot to show for Pakistan in international cricket. It'd be a shame to see him dropped, but that being said, I don't think Pakistan are going to be dropping him, to be honest. He's proven himself in under-19 cricket, he's proven himself in the PSL, that this kid can absolutely launch the ball outside of the park. You know, his body doesn't necessarily show it, his frame doesn't necessarily show it, but Haider Ali has a lot to offer with the bat. He can be extremely explosive. Some people referring to him as the next Shahid Afridi, which, you know, is a bit of a big shout, to be honest. He's got big shoes to fill if he does want to fulfill anything near that. But that being said, Haider Ali, a big talent, an aggressive player that Pakistan hasn't necessarily had at the top order in terms of righties. We did have Fahir Zaman, but at the top order we've had Babar Azam and Mohammad Hafeez for a pretty long while now, and we didn't really get the aggressors until number 6-7 when we had the likes of Shadab Khan, Fahim Ashraf, potentially Asif Ali depending on where he batted. So Haider Ali, going to be a nice addition, potentially a cover for Fahir Zaman. You know, we're talking about someone who's aggressive, potentially open the batting more often alongside Babar Azam, and that's what Fahir Zaman's role was. So yeah, a great player with a lot to show. Whether that statement is true, I want you guys to take that for yourselves. Let me know in the comments. Do you think Haider Ali is going to be a potential long-term cover for Fahir Zaman if he keeps that performances up? Now, Harris Ralph, a player who has definitely had one of the quickest progressions. You know, if you look back, probably 2017, I think he first came into the Lahore Development Centre for the PSL, and since then, completely blown up. He had went from the Lahore Qalandars, performing there, to getting the call up to play for the Melbourne Stars, absolutely blew out some of the competition there, and went from there to play a Pakistan debut, and from there back to the Melbourne Stars. In terms of recent performances and stats, I think he's averaging about 20 a wicket. The stats don't really define him, in my opinion. He's going for about 8 in domestic cricket right now. His international cricket stats are average, to be honest. They're not amazing. That being said, they're not horrible either. He's not going for a crazy amount of runs, but we all know what Harris Ralph is capable of. 90 plus miles an hour, has a great slower ball, can really skid it. He's great on dry conditions with the availability of bounce. Places like Rawalpindi would be a great venue for him to be playing at. I'm not exactly sure where the first or any of the T20s are, to be honest, but yeah, Harris Ralph is a great selection. Better in the T20s than the test anyway. I've already made my choices and my reasons for that clear in the test preview, I think, episode I did, which might have been like episode 16, episode 17. So go check that out if you want to hear my opinions on Harris Ralph in the test side. But in terms of T20, he's a solid player. He probably is going to be in the playing 11 if we're looking at a standard side. That being said, he could be swapped out for Ahmad Butt. So Harris Ralph, that's my opinion on him. Let me know what you guys think of him. Now, Hassan Ali is the next player. Alongside Fahim, probably one of the best comebacks we've seen in the last few years for Pakistan. We talk about players who have attempted to make their comeback, especially when Misbah Haq came in as a head coach. We saw a couple of the old players crop up, the likes of Umar Akmal, for example. But Fahim Ashraf and Hassan Ali in this case is definitely one of the more better ones. Again, lost his place to form, had a load of injuries, worked his way back up. We talked about the 100 in the Qadi Azam Trophy final. And, you know, if you saw the Pakistan South Africa test, it speaks for itself. Second test, 10 wickets, best figures in his entire career for test cricket. And he's played a fair few, to be honest. So Hassan Ali, a player I'm extremely happy to be back in the T20 side. A solid seamer, in my opinion. He's got the pace, he has ability to bowl cutters, he can swing the ball, he's good with both the old ball and the new ball. So a solid player. And in T20 cricket, if you remember back to 2017, 2018, when Mickey Arthur was here and we're playing at home in Dubai, if you're watching Pakistan cricket, then you're very much aware of what he's capable of with the bat. He's helped us, I think, I can't remember the exact game. It might have been Sri Lanka, Australia, New Zealand. I can't remember the opposition exactly, but he did take us to a very, very tight win against one of those sides with the six off the last ball with him and Shadab Khan. I think Shadab hit the six, but he very much helped with the bat as well. So he's capable with the bat, definitely capable with the ball. We've seen that with recent performances. Hassan Ali, a selection that I'm very happy to be there with. Now, Hussein Dalit is the next player on the Pakistan selections. Someone I've mentioned to make his comeback for a while now. Remember, he made his debut while Mickey Arthur was in. Pretty much lost his place as soon as Misbah Al-Haq came in. I don't really remember him having any form issues. I think Mickey Arthur was developing him very well alongside Azhar Mahmood as both as an all-rounder, seeming all-rounder. A very, very talented player in my opinion. He has ability, he has the medium pace to offer, and he can smack it around a few with the bat. I think he's a very handy number 6 or number 7. With the current T20 side, it's very hard for me to put him in the 11. That being said, he's a solid substitute. There's no doubt about that. If there's the likes of Imad Nasim, Shadab Khan. That being said, I haven't looked at the playing 11. If I look back, then it probably is a place for him. But yeah, Hussein Dalit, a very, very talented player. Hopefully he does make his comeback in this series. We saw him be selected in the T20 series against New Zealand, in New Zealand, just about a month and a half back, and he didn't end up playing any games. So hopefully we can see him here. Hussein Dalit, a player I'm very much looking forward to see back in the green top. Now, Iftikhar Ahmed, the guy who I've famously said for saying he's about 48 currently on paper, about 32 or 31, some stupid age like that. But we won't get too much into that. That being said, a talented player. In recent times, he has helped Pakistan in a few sticky situations in T20 and ODI cricket, to be honest. Offers the off spin and having the ability to bat about number 6, number 5, almost as if he plays a role similar to Shoaib Malik, actually. While the two very much different playing styles, Iftikhar Ahmed does offer that. In terms of my personal opinion of him and preference of him in the side, I think if he's there to be in the playing 11, it is what it is. Form dictates that, of course. He hasn't had any stellar performances recently that I know of, and I wouldn't probably put him in the 11. What I'm thinking about in my head, he probably might be a substitute, but with Misbah Al-Haq, there's a good chance that he probably is going to play anyway. So Iftikhar Ahmed, a very talented player, not someone I think is very much right for Pakistan in terms of the direction we're looking to go in, but yeah, very much talented player either way. Alright, you can see it's gone a little bit lighter. That's because I'm recording into the next day. I've got, 5 hours to late upload. But yeah, we're going to go on to the next player, Hushdil Shah. A top order batsman, made his debut against Zimbabwe just a couple months back. 30-20, 40-odd on debut, not out. Went into the New Zealand series, played all three matches as a top order batsman. Fahri Zaman was out for COVID regulations, so he was pretty much given a permanent spot for that series, T20 series anyway. And yeah, he didn't really get going in any of the games. You could see, I could see stuff like he was looking a little bit flustered. He couldn't really pick the length properly, pick the line properly. He was struggling a little bit against length or shorter deliveries. But yeah, no doubt he's a very, very talented batsman from Multan Sultans. If you want to check out my previous podcast episodes, I can't remember exactly if I did one going from the Zimbabwe series, but I did do it about the New Zealand one. So go and check those out after this if you want to learn about my opinion from him. At that point in time, I still remember I wasn't too happy about his performances and the way he was going about his innings. But yeah, he's still a very, very talented player in my opinion. I think just based on times then when Pakistan weren't performing and we were losing T20 games, you could see my emotions at the better of me, and I was losing it a little bit against the likes of Hushdil Shah, Iftikhar Ahmed, etc. But yeah, very talented player. It's going to be good to see how he performs for Multan in the upcoming PSL. Going to be even more competitive, but in this series against South Africa, we're at home. I'm sure he'll be able to perform. It's going to be a lot more dry wickets compared to what he had to face in New Zealand. So hopefully he'll be a little bit more comfortable. Like I said, haven't really thought of a playing 11, but if we are looking at an 11, I could probably guess he is going to open. Fahri Zaman is out of this tour because of bad form, so again he's got this opening spot unless Haider Ali takes that with the swap around. But Haider Ali normally bats at 3. There's no reason why Hushdil Shah couldn't be opening the batting. Now the next player is another speedster from Quetta Gladiators, Mohammad Hasnain. 90 plus miles an hour, still only 20 years old. You know, he's come up with the likes of Nasim Shah, Shaheen Afridi, and I wouldn't necessarily say he's second string. He has had a pretty decent amount of opportunities since he's coming for Pakistan. He played about 10 T20s, quite a few ODIs, was part of the squad in the Cricket World Cup. I don't really think he got any games in the World Cup, but you know, he's got a lot of experience under his belt for a 20-year-old. That being said, I wouldn't be playing him in my best 11. I think Musard talked about it's a really good idea. I personally look at a much more of a subjective point of view when I'm picking players, you know, how much rest to be giving them, whether we can play them with a future, bring them on now, and how much further can we bring them on, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, in terms of the concept of playing a best 11, despite what Mohamed Esnin has to offer with the ball, I wouldn't actually play him. I would think, in my eyes, that Haris Rauf is still a better replacement, a better version of Mohamed Hassanein right now. Like I said, Haris Rauf offers a slower ball. He has that pace that Mohamed Hassanein has to offer. I do feel like Mohamed Hassanein has a lot of years ahead of him. Like we said, he's 20 years old. You could see that kind of maturity. You can see that level, his age. You can say it potentially comes through in some of his bowling sometimes when he's bowling. He doesn't really control the pace too well. And yeah, that's kind of my summary about Mohamed Hassanein. That being said, he's definitely a player for the future, you know, a seamer for the future when some of the old dogs retire. So yeah, definitely one for the future. One I wouldn't be playing in the squad, but he's getting a lot of experience, and that's good to see from him, man. Now, Sarfraz Ahmed is the next player. You know, we all know Sarfraz Ahmed. In my eyes, one of the more successful Pakistan captains we've had in T20 cricket by far. I have been a little frustrated with him, I'll be very honest. I've been a little bit frustrated at him times when he was playing as captain, when in 2017, 2018, when Pakistan were 5 or 6 down towards the end of the innings. It would be a sort of situation where Hassan Ali, Fahim and Sarfraz are left. Sarfraz being on paper the next player to come in, but he wouldn't bring himself until 9 just because of his playing style. And I think that's sometimes sort of let us down. Really, it was a right choice, in my opinion, that he did that, and people were getting angry. You know, he's a batsman, why isn't he bringing himself in? Why is Hassan Ali coming on? In the context of it all, it did make quite a lot of sense. That being said, I won't put it past the fact that I don't think he's still yet ready to play as a regular for Pakistan cricket. I think with him being taken off and Mohammad Rizwan being sort of forced to step up because we don't really have a third string keeper, he's been, you know, Mohammad Rizwan has gone from strength to strength. We've seen his performances. He didn't really perform in the first two T20s against New Zealand. That being said, we saw the last one. I think he put up a stupid number. His timing was incredible against New Zealand. I still remember the shot over mid-wicket for 6 where he just timed it to perfection. It looked as if he did nothing to the ball. But yeah, a very, very sick player still. Sarfraz Ahmed is, in my opinion, the way he can manipulate the field. A very wristy player. A half-decent keeper. But he's still very much the second string player, in my opinion. I think he has a lot more performances to push in the likes of PSL, which will be a good opportunity. This, like I said, it's come up at a good time. We've got the PSL in about 10 days. But yeah, very good opportunity for him to sort of put some performances up. So when Mohamed Rizwan is out for form or is out for injuries, we've got a solid keeper to back him up who hasn't been, you know, sitting as a sub for a long amount of time. Now, the next S is Shaheen Afshar Afridi. We all know what Shaheen Afshar Afridi can do. 20, 21 years old, left arm, swing, holds his line now, can swing it back in. Crazy good Yorkers, a lot of pace, a lot of carry. Yeah, we all know what Shaheen's capable of. He's the frontline bowler at literally barely 20 years old. The amount of maturity he's shown over the last year and a half has really been amazing to see. The way he can lead the Pakistan attack, genuinely lead the Pakistan attack at such an early age, it's proving a very good case for Pakistan's bowling attack in the future. Now that Hassan Ali's back, it's only going to get stronger with experience. And then, you know, players who are new can still be 20 years old with the likes of, you know, Nasim Shah in a couple of years, Mohamed Hassanein now, Haris Rauf at 26, 27. So Shaheen, a very, very mature player, someone who knows what he's doing with the ball, extremely successful in T20 cricket, whether that's in franchise or in international T20 cricket. He just knows what he's doing and he controls his swing very well and very maturely for his age. And he's starting to show a little bit with the bat as well. I've seen a couple innings where, you know, he's not necessarily scoring 30 off 13, but he has scored a couple sixes. And yeah, maybe we might see some Mitchell Stark performances with the bat in the future from him. But Shaheen Shah Afridi, we all know he's capable of, very much in the starting 11 in all formats. One of the first picks you have to put in. So yeah. Now the next player is Usmar Qadir, the leg spinning phenomenon, son of the late Abdul Qadir, who used to be a leg spinner for Pakistan for a very, very long time. One of Pakistan's best spinners, you could probably say, in history. And yeah, a very, very sick spinner. Leg spinner, can rip the ball, leg break, slide his googly. The kid knows what he's doing. He was so close to actually being eligible to play for Australia properly for the national side. And it's a good thing Pakistan got a hold of him, because I'm just happy. I'll put it this way, I'm happy he's playing for us rather than we having to face him. The kid is very, very good. I reckon if he was playing for Australia, it wouldn't be long before he's competing with the likes of Adam Zampa already. The kid, Usman Khadr, is very, 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 very good. Three games into his international T20 career, already taken 8 wickets, averaging just 7.5, going for about 5.5 and over. And you know, his T20 in domestic stats speak for themselves. He's very good. He's successful in franchise cricket. He just knows what he's doing. He can spin the ball hard, and I think he's come at a very good time, especially with, you know, the likes of Shadab Khan, who is our last wrist spin regular. Shadab Khan has obviously stepped up to vice captain. He's doing a lot more with the bat, potentially batting higher up the order when it's needed. So it's a good thing to see that when we've got a regular, we've got a very much a long term player that we can use in the future, who can step up when it's needed. When Shadab Khan has to rest, or he's injured in this case, or you know, Shadab wants to bat higher with the bat and not necessarily bowl as many overs, Usman Khadr definitely offers that. He doesn't offer really much with the bat, but he's a genuine, genuine leg spinner who is very, very successful, and his international career couldn't have gone any better. I think he's only played against Zimbabwe so far, but the numbers he's putting out in domestic cricket and international cricket so far are very, very promising. The fact we're playing at home in our conditions is only going to be more helpful for him. So definitely going to be in the playing 11, that's for sure. And I really do think he's going to be very successful, especially in this series and in series forthcoming. Now the next player is Mohammad Nawaz, left-arm spinner, offers a little bit with the bat. Yeah, very, very talented player, plays for Quetta, played for a bunch of franchises across the world. And yeah, definitely another player who has a lot to offer, a little bit more experience than Mohammad Hasnain. But he hasn't played international T20 cricket for a minute now. And yeah, I still think he has a place in the Pakistan spin side. With the likes of Imad Taseem gone and Shadab Khan gone, there is a good chance he can potentially be played as one of the spinners, whether that's first or second string. And with Usman Khadr, he could very much be played as a lefty that we are missing with Imad Taseem gone. So yeah, Mohammad Nawaz, definitely someone to look out for. Offers a little bit with the bat. Definitely is a handy left-arm spinner for Pakistan. Has proven himself in a load of different tournaments, T10, T20, ODI. He played a couple tests about 2016, I think, against West Indies. But yeah, very, very sick player. One who's probably going to be in the playing 11, in my opinion. Now the next player is Zafar Gorher, the left-arm spinner, the left-arm all-rounder. A very, very sick player, another good player that Pakistan has to offer in the spin department or all-rounders department. Sort of plays a role similar to Mohammad Nawaz in that sense. Played about 50-odd T20 domestic games, 60-odd wickets in that. Strike rate of just 16 with the ball. And yeah, very, very sick player. You know, we talk about his international cricket. He's already played the one test match, which is against New Zealand so far. Should have been part of the test matches against South Africa, if I'm being honest. Go and check out the other episodes if you want to hear my full rant about that. But yeah, a very, very sick player in my opinion. His stats show that he has something to offer. Whether he'll make the playing 11, I highly doubt it. If they are going to play any left-arm spinners to cover for the likes of Imad Taseem, as an all-rounder, you could very much play Zafar Gorher. That being said, Mohammad Nawaz is another option. And if we're going for experience, then Mohammad Nawaz is there. But that being said, in terms of current form, you probably want to pick Zafar Gorher over Mohammad Nawaz. I think his last few endeavours, especially for, I think he was playing for Central Punjab, has been pretty good. Put up a lot of runs with the bat, taken some decent spells with the ball. So yeah, very much an all-rounder who has something to offer with the ball and bat. And a good player, I think. He could very much be a first or second string player. He might end up playing at least one game in the South Africa series. But yeah, very, very sick player. Now the final player is Zahin Mahmood, one of the more experienced domestic players. 32 years old, 30-odd T20 domestic games, about 47 T20 wickets, striking about 16 with the ball. But yeah, one of the more experienced domestic players. I think he's a left arm spinner again, but if I'm being honest, his recent performances have been very much on point. That's probably the reason that he's been selected for the first place. His recent performances for Southern Punjab have been very, very good. Not really going expensive for the last 10-ish games at all. But yeah, very, very sick player. When do I think he's going to make the playing 11? I can't speak for Mohammed Basim and Misbah Haq's mind. I probably wouldn't be playing him. I don't really see a future for him at 32 years old, especially in the T20 side right now, with the likes of Imad Wasim, Shadab Khan, Usman Kadir, Zafar Gourher. With these kind of players, I don't necessarily think there's a long-term future for him. And when I start picking players, that's kind of a thing that I would put into mind as well. We're going to bring him in. How much longer does he have the ability to play for Pakistan? Because there's no point wasting him. But that being said, Pakistan does have the knack for bringing in players just for when they're needed. And it is what it is. Your career can literally be over after two games. We don't care how good you played. If you're a cover, you're a cover. So in that sense, there's a very much a chance that he could be playing as a cover for Imad Wasim. But from what I'd pick as a left arm spinner cover or an all-rounder cover for Imad Wasim, because he does bat and bowl, I'd probably end up putting the wise of Gourher. Based on form, I'd put Gourher at number one, for my opinion. So that is essentially the entire Pakistan squad. If we look at South Africa's squad, I'm not going to run through their team, but they're missing the likes of, they don't have Quinton de Kock, Faf du Plessis. Some of the more experienced players, Dumini didn't retire not long ago as well. So in that sense, despite Pakistan having a fair amount of injuries, it does level the playing field a little bit. So I do still think Pakistan can take the series win by all means. I think it will either be 2-1, maybe 3-0. I'm confident in this Pakistan side, despite the injuries that have been taking place. I reckon some of these players will stand out. We're at home, so there shouldn't be too much problem with conditions, like for example, Haider Ali and Hushdul Shah had to face. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the way these guys perform. And one thing to point out, I'm having like a brain fart. Abdullah Shafiq or Hushdul Shah. I think Abdullah Shafiq was the opener who played against New Zealand. I don't think it was Hushdul Shah who opened. I think Hushdul Shah batted about 4 or 5. But yeah, sorry for any other guys who want to get onto me after that, or girls. My bad if I did say that. But yeah, that's my take on all the players in the squad. The game is literally starting tomorrow. I'm gonna get this out as soon as I can. Visual overlay for you guys listening on you watching on YouTube, and hopefully I've done a good job with that. And then the audio, hopefully you guys had a good experience, had a good intake from my perspective on the Pakistan side. I want you guys to let me know now, if you are up to this point, to make sure you are. I want you to comment down below. Go to the YouTube if you're listening on audio. If you're on the YouTube already, just scroll down to the comments and give me your playing 11. I want to find out. I can't really think of an 11 right now. I can't really be bothered to put an 11 right now. I think it's just going to end up taking too much time. But yeah, give me your 11. Give me your highest run take. Give me your highest, the player who's going to make the most runs. Sorry, another brain fart. Give me the player who you think is going to score the most runs in this series from Pakistan and South Africa. Which one do you think is going to score more? I want you to do the same for bowling, and I want you to tell me how you think the series is going to play out. So a couple of things, a couple of questions if you are up to this point, and to make sure of that, just give me your answers to these. Give me your playing 11 in one comment, and in another comment I want you to give me your highest run scorer, highest wicket taker, and how you think the series is going to play out. Two different comments, and share this out please. This is episode 19 of Cricket Talks. Make sure you check out the visuals if you haven't already. Hopefully there's been a little bit of a visual overlay, so you don't have to see my ugly face the whole time. But yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Go check out my others if you haven't already. We cover a lot of Pakistan cricket. Got some nice new concepts I'm going to be doing, a little bit more timeless, coming up with some combinations of side. For example, an India-Pakistan 11, combined 11, which I'm going to make it as unbiased as possible. I try to leave out all the patriotism that is associated with, supporting an Indian team or being a Pakistani fan. I'm going to try and leave it all out and put it with try and be as objective as possible. Sorry, another brain fart. But yeah, I'm gonna try and be as objective as possible. I'm gonna do that with quite a few teams, try and put some combinations in. Let me know which guests you want me to bring on in these next episodes, whether that's the series summary or whether that's the PSL episodes that's coming up, or whether it's this combination 11. If you're on YouTube, again, comment down below which guests you want me to be on there. If you're on audio, go onto YouTube and let me know. So yeah, this has been episode 19. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like, comment, subscribe if you're listening up on YouTube. And if you're listening on audio, make sure you follow, like, rate, review, whatever your platform allows it to. I've been Mohammed, more blogs. Again, whatever you want to refer me to as. This has been episode 19 of Cricket Talks. And I'll see you guys on the next episode.